Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, this podcast contains words that liberals might find triggering, like freedom and... No, I'm just kidding. Oh, can you imagine? Idiots. We do say fuck, though, so, you know.
This week's episode of The Scathing Atheist is brought to you by My Sheets Rock and by the new social media site for conservatives with verbal diarrhea, Xlax, perfect for shitposting. And now... The Scathing Atheist.
I'm Clint Wickles of the Pickles and Wickles podcast. And we did, in fact, evolve from filthy monkey man.
Thursday.
Hey, it's October 3rd.
And it's Mean Girls Appreciation Day.
She doesn't even go here. Whatever.
I'm Michael Marshall.
I'm Eli Bosnick.
I'm Heath Enright. And from Buzz Aldrin's New Jersey, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Liverpool, England, this is The Scathing Atheist.
On this week's episode, Mike Johnson gives a whole new meaning to Christian apologetics.
Brett Weinstein tries to improve his image with some Russell branding.
And I'll tell you about a woo proponent whose ideas really don't add up.
But first, the Eliotribe.
So I want to talk to you today about Chapel Roan. Now, right out of the gate, I sort of want to apologize. Chapel Roan is 27 years old, a decade younger than me, and infinitely more famous and talented than me or no. I gotta admit, talking about someone's political take when they are still very much buffering into adulthood feels gross. Like, I know I had worse political takes than Chapel Roan at her age, and I did it without having the focus of millions of people on me. What's going on with her, I think, is pretty relevant. So with the apology for being a 37-year-old man talking about a 27-year-old pop star out of the way, here we go. So if you're not aware, Chapel has gotten quite a bit of backlash over the last couple of weeks over her failure to endorse Kamala Harris. At first, she said she wasn't going to endorse either candidate, and then folks pointed out that that felt like she was sort of both-sidesing it with Trumpism, and so she released this long and not particularly well-informed TikTok about how she was going to vote for Harris, but she couldn't endorse her because she doesn't agree with, I don't know, everything the Democratic Party has ever done. Like I said, it wasn't a great take, but I think what Chapel Roan meant, and what I've heard echoed all the way back to when we were telling people to vote for Hillary Clinton, is that voting for Kamala Harris doesn't make her feel good. And look, it should, right? The opportunity to vote the first woman of color into office, let alone the opportunity to lend your platform to that cause, that's a tremendous honor. But when you're the beneficiary of privilege, the purpose of social justice isn't equity. It's comfort. Now, obviously, I'm not the first person to point this out, but here's the thing. When you're white, or privileged in general, and you start to learn about social justice stuff, you learn it in the context of ways that you're benefiting while others are suffering. And pretty much every person of privilege does one of two things when they hear that, right? The first is good old-fashioned cognitive dissonance. And cognitive dissonance is a powerful phenomenon. I don't think it's exaggerating to say that at this point, a good percentage of republicanism is based entirely on it. Cognitive dissonance has entire news websites, television networks, and Matt Walsh documentaries dedicated to telling folks who have been exposed to these ideas that the reason they're uncomfortable when they hear them is because the ideas are wrong, not them. It's big business. It's what the bad guys do, and they do it really, really well. But what our side tends to do is a phenomenon called the race to innocence. Now, this has been written about by people way smarter than me, but essentially when you expose people of privilege to these ideas, if they accept them, some of them immediately begin to explain the ways in which they are not privileged. Yeah, when I pointed out that Chapel is a beneficiary of privilege just now, a bunch of people listening to this thought to themselves, you know, actually, Eli, she's queer. And she is. But not being a beneficiary of all privilege doesn't mean that you aren't fully experiencing the privilege of some of the things about you. And like it or not, this race to innocence, you know, I'm disabled, I'm queer, I'm downright unlucky. It might not be as dangerous an attempt to avoid discomfort as Fox News, but that's still what it is. It's a way to feel better when exposed to uncomfortable truths. The point of the race to innocence is that it allows someone to step from the position of the corrected to the corrector. Like, yes, white people need to acknowledge their privilege, but sorry, I have to step over to this side of the line so I can tell straight people a thing or two. And look, I'd love to examine the ways in which I'm benefiting from these systems, but I'm too busy telling people off. And telling people off, well, that feels way better. And that's where Chapel is, right? The uncomfortable space where ways in which it's hard to be here doesn't change her obligation to use her privilege to make things easier for others. Now, she probably disagrees. She'd probably say that her discomfort is the way that she perceives the Democrats make things hard for people. But besides that not being the point, there are no ways in which the Democrats make things worse than Donald Trump would make them. And that's who this election is between. And yeah, that binary choice sucks. Wishing it was different and taking the action to change it are fantastic uses of your political time. But we don't change those things by empowering the bad guys. And if that sounds like compromise, it's because it is. Compromise is how positive change happens. Compromise is not how you maintain a feeling of moral superiority. Now, look, Chapel Roan's never going to hear this, but you're hearing it. And I'm guessing at least a few of you recognized an emotion or a thought while I was talking. And I hope it makes you think. I hope it makes you consider your decisions and the people you lend your voice to. Because I think everyone listening to this wants to make the world a better and more equitable place. And quite a few of the people listening to this are in the position to do it. Imperfectly, uncomfortably, but actually. And I hope you do.
They're talking about your Jesus.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Joining me for headlines tonight are the inverse and converse to my contrapositive, Michael Marshall and Eli Bosnick. Fellas, are you ready to condition?
Hell yeah!
I'm not sure. I'm feeling a little iffy.
<All right>. Iffy. I think we're all tied up in knots. So we're going to take a quick break to figure it out, and we'll get a quick word from our sponsor, My Sheets Rock.
Thanks for sleeping over, Marsh.
Top bunk. I call top bunk.
Yeah, no problem. But isn't going to bed at 7 p.m. a little early?
Yeah, but by the time we actually get to sleep, we're barely getting our 8 hours.
Yeah.
Really? What's keeping you tossing and turning?
Oh, I'm a warm sleeper.
And I don't want Mudeng to die.
The hippo from the internet?
Yeah.
Yeah, just sometimes I think about
how she's going to die someday, and just really upsets me when I think about it.
Okay. Well, if you're a warm sleeper, why didn't you try the regulator sheets from My Sheets Rock?
Oh, what are the regulator sheets from My Sheets Rock?
My Sheets Rock created the regulator sheets, which are designed specifically to keep hot sleepers cool and cold sleepers comfortable. They regulate temperature, wick moisture, stay breathable, and they're so soft you'll sleep comfortably every night. That's because these sheets are made from the best-in-class bamboo rayon, which transfers body heat 2 times more effectively than regular sheets and reduces humidity by 50%, so you can experience your best night's sleep yet.
Her name means bouncy pork.
Why, yes, I have tried them, Eli. Great question.
Don't want her to
My Sheets Rock
die.
Sent us a set to try when they first became a sponsor, and they quickly became my favorite sheets. That's why I, Heath Enright, personally endorse My Sheets Rock.
But Marsh, what if the existential dread has driven me to derealization so complete that I believe all things to be lies and constructions by a devil god?
Don't believe me? Their 2,205-star customer reviews speak for themselves. Plus, they offer a 90-day risk-free trial and free shipping and returns. Check out My Sheets Rock at mysheetsrock.com/scathing and enter our code SCATHING for 10% off and free shipping. That's mysheetsrock.com/scathing, code SCATHING.
My Sheets Rock, a more comfortable night's sleep. The other stuff is probably best for a different one of our sponsors.
Yeah. Mudang.
And now, back to the headlines. In our lead story tonight, U.S. Congressman Clay Higgins of Louisiana posted a crazy racist tirade on Twitter last week. He's a Republican, by the way, in case you're wondering.
No!
Yeah. And following the post, fellow Louisianan and Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, defended Higgins by saying it's cool because something, something God or something. Sorry, actually, let me circle back. In our lead story, we have a sitting U.S. congressman named Clay Higgins, and he looks like the bouncer at a segregated country club. In his chosen photo for his bio at the House.gov homepage, he looks like that.
Yeah, podcast listener, Heath has put a picture of this man in our notes, and he looks like he's about to tell someone, so I can't come back to any Buffalo Wild Wings or just this one? What is the...
Right, but also, Clay Higgins. That sounds like something an archaeologist finds at a Neolithic burial site. You know, we found some evidence of some stone tools and some Clay Higgins.
Some Clay Higgins. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's about right in terms of his politics. So here's the backstory. In case anyone missed it, during the absolute drubbing of Donald Trump by Kamala Harris during their debate last month, Trump got tricked into saying the unscripted words inside of his dumb face out loud, which included the claim that Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio, are stealing cats and dogs and eating them. That is not correct. And a community group from Springfield actually filed a citizen lawsuit against Trump and J.D. Vance for spreading that lie. Well, in response to the lawsuit, here's the post we got from Clay Higgins. Quote, LOL, these Haitians are wild. Eating pets? Voodoo, spelled wrong, nastiest country in the Western Hemisphere, cults, slapstick gangster, .. no idea, but damned if they don't feel all sophisticated now, filing charges against our president and VP. Neither of those things are true. All these thugs better get their mind right and their ass out of our country before January 20th, end quote.
Okay, that's obviously horrifying and really upsetting, but if ever there was a congressman we could convince to meet us in a field behind his office for a fist fight, I feel like it's Clay Higgins, right? Like Clay Higgins is 100%
absolutely
in.
So that wasn't great. Well, except maybe for the slapstick gangster part, which seems very amusing.
Delightful, yeah.
Albeit completely insane, during that list of already insane things, it stood out as insane.
Yeah, like, is slapstick gangster an American reference that I just don't get? Because otherwise, I assume it's like a lost Marx Brothers movie, you know, starring Groucho, Harpo, and Joseph Darlow.
Yeah, it's the unpopular follow-up to Zoot Suit Ryan. Yeah. Slapstick gangster.
Okay, and just in case it wasn't clear how terrible that post was, even Republicans found it to be, well, somewhat offensive. And that's a bad sign. And it's even worse with the added context that Clay Higgins has a history of domestic abuse and hate crime allegations. He openly and proudly voted for KKK leader at the time, David Duke, to be the governor of Louisiana.
That's not good.
And his name is Clay Higgins, one more time.
Yeah.
Well, Mike Johnson got a question about that horrible post during a press conference later that day. And Johnson said, quote, "Clay Higgins is a dear friend of mine." Really bad start. Don't, you shouldn't have said that. Continuing.
I love the racist.
Continuing. "And a very frank and outspoken person. He's also a very principled man." Sick for everything I'm saying here. I think, I didn't even see it, but he tweeted something today about Haitians. I feel like he saw it. I think he's lying there.
Yeah, that is cowardice. That is absolute cowardice.
"And he was approached on the floor by colleagues who said that was offensive. I just talked to him about it. He said he prayed about it and he regretted it. And he pulled the post down. That's what you want a gentleman to do. I'm sure he probably regrets some of the language he used. But, you know, we move forward. We believe in redemption around here." End quote.
And by around here, we mean exclusively for Republicans and Republicans only.
So from there, it actually gets even worse. Minutes after Mike Johnson's absolutely terrible rationalization, claiming that Higgins was regretful.
Well, only probably regretful.
Yeah, well, wait for it. Higgins went on CNN and said, "I regret nothing."
Pretty much exactly.
"He tried to defend me and walk anything back because they'd look super dumb. And I'm me saying that." Here's the exact words from Higgins about his bigot post to CNN. Quote, "It's all true. I can put up another controversial post tomorrow if you want me to. I mean, we do have freedom of speech. I'll say what I want. It's not a big deal to me." What the fuck does big deal mean? What are those words?
I'm not crying.
Great.
I'm not crying.
Yeah, very confusing, fancy words, big and deal. He clarified, "It's like something stuck to the bottom of my boot. Just scrape it off and move on with my life." End quote.
Okay, say what you will about Clay Higgins, but he really captures how I feel about the Republican Party. Maybe we're not so different after all.
So I'm curious what the fuck praying means as it applies to Clay Higgins this week. So we have two possibilities. One, Mike Johnson is a liar.
Oh.
And honestly, that brings into question the masturbation accountability software that he uses along with his teenage son as his jerk sponsor. So that's option one. Or option two, when Johnson claimed that he spoke with Higgins and that Higgins prayed about it, that was referring to Higgins praying to the God of the universe for the strength to scrape the hate speech that he did off his boot and move on. So point being, when Christian people say, "I prayed about it," and they love to say that for all different reasons, my assumption was that's just a stupid nothing word salad. But it's actually way worse than nothing in many cases. In this case, it means the voice in my head agreed with me about the voice in my head. And that's often what it means. And that voice uses a lot of slur words sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it appears, at least in Clay Higgins' case. And in Darns and Noble news, Oklahoma Superintendent of Public Instruction and Manosphere podcast in human form, Ryan Walters, proposed spending $6 million of taxpayer money on classroom Bibles this week because he's an idiot who has no idea how church-state separation works, and it's terrifying that he has any power at all, like including a driver's license. So we're going to talk about
it. He looks like he's always being slightly strangled by a neckbeard that's trying to kill itself by killing him. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. A little confused.
He does, but also like, every single photo of this guy looks like the fake profile photo used in a cryptocurrency investment scam. It's like this guy is their stock photo model as like a side hustle to his normal
game. Yeah, it should be giving Marsh my address on Twitter as some place to contact. the business owner. Right. So first off, big thanks to Tim for sending us this story to scathingnews@gmail.com. If you send us atheist news to scathingnews@gmail.com, you delay the day that Marsh once again creates a deadly pandemic in his nonstop quest for self-glorification as skeptic of the millennia. Your atheist news buys us time while we find a way to stop him once and for all.
Yeah, I mean, step one would be not chickening out of visiting the country that I live in, either of you guys.
Chickening? Chicken? I went through 3 childcare options. That last one was risky for everybody involved. I didn't know my son was going to make it. I didn't know the sitter was going to make it, but I did it for you. All right. So for those of you who are new around here, I'm the adorable heart of the podcast. Marsh did COVID. Heath is tall. And superintendent of public instruction, Ryan Walters, has spent pretty much his entire time in his position doing illegal stuff and then being told by courts and or his voters that he can't do those illegal things. As our friend Hemet Mehta over at The Friendly Atheist summed it up for us over on his Substack, he is, quote, tried to force teachers to make the Bible part of their curriculum, backed a taxpayer-funded Catholic charter school, which the Oklahoma Supreme Court later declared illegal, tried to put Christian chaplains in public schools, and attempted to mandate displays of the Ten Commandments in public schools.
Yeah, he also got caught in a giant lie last year when state lawmakers questioned his commitment to helping the public school system, which is like, you know, his job. And he claimed that his department, quote, never missed a single deadline for any grant. And then a whistleblower came out and said, yeah, we never missed a deadline, I guess, technically, because we never applied for one single grant. So he wants millions of dollars for private schools and Christian props in public schools, but he very intentionally avoided getting any funding for teaching real things in public school. Again, that's the job he has.
Right.
Okay, but like this makes total sense, because if he'd spent all the money on, you know, books and educational materials, there'd be no money left to fund his very important life-size statue of hot Jesus at the crucifixion, which was almost certainly going to be the next thing on his list. This is just fiscal responsibility.
Exactly. It's called having a budget, Heath.
Yeah.
Read it.
Okay.
Look it up. But there's actually more. Continuing the quote from Hemet here, he also approved the use of PragerU materials in classrooms, claimed the Tulsa race massacre had nothing to do with race, falsely insisted that President Joe Biden, quote, wants to destroy our Christian faith, formed a faith committee to examine prayer in public schools, and appointed the troll who runs Libs of TikTok to a statewide library advisory board, end quote.
Yeah, that would be Kaya Raichik, who demanded proof that cat litter boxes weren't being placed in school bathrooms to accommodate furry kids. And school administrators all over the country had to stop doing education stuff and explain that, no, that's fucking dumb. What are you talking about?
Right. And also, that's the person who doxed people for harassment constantly until their name was announced. And then they were like, I am victimized. It's great. Anyways, with a resume like that, it should come as no surprise that this week, Walters called for the state to double his original budget of $3 million for illegal classroom Bibles, saying, quote, this would give us the ability to utilize $6 million in less than 2 years to ensure that the Bible hasn't been driven out of Oklahoma classrooms. That would be a significant step for the state of Oklahoma to ensure that we're not allowing the left to censor American history, end quote.
Oh, no, that would be terrible. Censoring American history? Like, I don't know, top of my head, claiming the Tulsa race massacre had nothing to do with race. It was actually about proper accounting guidelines or something.
Yeah, or like claiming that the Bible is even meant to have a prominent place in American classrooms in the first place. Like, wasn't not doing that one of the first things you guys bothered to write down about how to do in America? That was like couple of things.
Yeah, it was right in there.
Right at the top.
And sadly, it looks like Walters might succeed with this issue, right? Obviously, he's requesting a budget increase, and those are always hard to come by in education, even when it's for theocracy. But as Hemet pointed out over in his Substack, all 4 of the state board members seem to be in favor of this action when he mentioned it. And look, I think the consequences of this were best put by another critic of the move, House Democratic leader Representative Cindy Munson, who said, quote, Oklahoma public schools remain some of the most underfunded public schools in the nation. Oklahoma ranks 45th in the United States for per student expenditures, and Oklahoma public school teachers are paid more than $10,000 less than the national average salary for public and school teachers. There are major gaps in funding public education in Oklahoma, and yet the state superintendent continues to abandon the needs of our public school districts to push for policies that do not benefit teachers, students, or families. He has and continues to fail us and our public schools, end quote.
And finally tonight, in Welcome to Woostock News, speaking as an external observer, it seems like America's been in a bit of a weird place for a while now.
Yeah.
So you should thank your lucky stars that someone has finally come along to rescue your republic. And then you should get out a telescope and look at those lucky stars a little more closely, and you'll realize that they're definitely black holes, because the would-be rescuers of your republic are led by the former biology professor turned ivermectin peddling podcaster, Brett Weinstein.
Yeah, a knight in shining armor for us, who smells like his horse that has worms. Great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So last weekend, Weinstein collected together some of the smartest people he knows, which by definition makes them some of the stupidest people imaginable, for a 7-hour Rescue the Republic concert in Washington, D.C.
7 hours?
7 hours. I skimmed it. I didn't watch the whole thing. I did skim it, which he modestly claimed this event in advance of the weekend would be, quote, an event in the same way that Woodstock was a music festival, unquote.
What?
That's where that Woostock came from in the headline. It's actually quite hard to land a punchline before the setup, actually.
Tell me about it, Marsh. I get it. Maybe he met the comparison in terms of, you know, unshowered people with bad beliefs about science. Because if so, I think he nailed it, right? Can we say?
Fair. So while Woodstock featured performances from Hendrix, Joplin, and the Grateful Dead, who could Weinstein call on? Well, a ragtag bunch of anti-vaxxers, conspiracy theorists, and culture war cancellation victims, obviously. Kicking off as MC was Rob Schneider.
Come on.
Listed in the Chiron.
Whoa.
Yeah, Rob Schneider.
Hendrix, Chiron, Joplin, Cable. Rob Schneider.
Schneider, Deuce Bigelow.
On the stream, the Chiron comes up and he's listed as comedian and author of Speak Your Mind, America, You Can Do It. You know, because of the meme that he's in.
Phrase.
And it's not ideal when you're cashing in on the fame generated by a 1 second long silent loop from a movie you were in once.
Okay, I want to be sensitive here, but does Rob Schneider know you can kill yourself? Because before I would be willing to do literally any of the things you just said about Rob Schneider, I'd roll up a new character, if you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you're helping out Adam Sandler's dermatologist. He doesn't have to do the lancing. It's a win-win, absolutely.
It's a win-win, exactly.
If he knew that was an option, he would never have made Juice Bigelow 2. He does not know that's an option.
He does not know that's an option.
So after Rob Schneider had done these introductions, we had about 24 or so firefighters who were apparently cancelled for refusing to get vaccinated, and they were carrying an American flag, which would have been a powerful image if they weren't making their way across the largely empty field where the large audience was meant to be gathering. So the stream couldn't actually show these brave freedom warriors without repeatedly showing how small the crowd for the event was.
Yeah, but you know, at least the firefighters have experience when they eventually end up on ventilators. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, just the big Iwo Jima shot they're going for. But it's just Rob Schneider in the background and nobody else. It's very sad.
Yeah, like at times, it honestly felt a bit like the stage was busier than the audience, because we were just greeted by a procession of anti-vax celebrities. Like, oh, there's Pierre Corey, and there's Dr. Asim Malhotra, and oh, here's Mickey Willis, and stick around because Del Bigtree's coming up. It was a real who's who there. Plus, there was Brett himself, of course.
I hate that I know all those names.
That's what I was thinking too. I was like, fuck.
Well, Brett himself got up and told us that we'd be hearing from some of the brightest minds on Earth before giving way to Tulsi Gabbard, Robert Malone, and Jimmy Dore.
Okay.
By the time that Robert F. Kennedy came out, the event felt so lifeless that I was worried he'd try and ditch it in Central Park and frame it as an accident.
Okay, look, I'm not saying I want anything bad to happen to the people at that event. I'm saying that if there had been a roof collapse at that event, I would be doing this week's show with a lot less gusto. You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, hey,
okay, the deep state cabal with the grudge against the Kennedy family, they can finally do some good for the world, and now they get lazy? Come on, what's happening there?
Great question.
D up.
Oh, but the unmistakable highlight, I'm going to say, of the whole event had to be the painful double act of Russell Brand and Jordan Peterson, the former wearing not one but two ostentatious crucifixes, because he's getting more Christian by the minute, apparently, while the latter, Peterson, had apparently stolen a jacket from Two-Face from Batman, if you see the picture.
So silly.
It's so funny! Jordan Peterson always looks like he just switched bodies with a sane person, and that sane person is like trying to figure their way out of Jordan Peterson's life.
Yeah, by doing a hunger strike. He is looking wan. It's not good.
Yeah.
They look exactly like two Batman villains doing a ribbon cutting for their evil biotech lab that's going to like get put up over a teen center. It's exactly like that.
That is absolutely perfect.
Two-Face and the Monobrow.
He's Starvy Dent.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So this apparently unplanned conversation between the world's foremost pair of egotistical pseudo-intellectual windbags went on for a full 30 minutes of the 7-hour live stream. But it wasn't like a regular conversation where you say something and then the other person says something, kind of a sentence or so at a time. Instead, they took turns in speaking in 4-minute chunks throughout the entire half hour.
That's fucking weird.
It wasn't such a conversation as it was bullshit jazz, where they'd sort of take turns soloing around a vague motif. And like a lot of jazz gigs that have gone way too self-indulgent, every time you panned across the audience was a kind of expressions on their faces that said, I don't understand what I'm hearing, but I'm told it's very smart, so I'm going to pretend that I get it.
Right.
Okay, personal attack. Chris Potter is a genius. I thought we had a great time at the jazz club. Whatever.
We did.
I don't understand it either, though. I do that thing.
So yeah, these are the intellectual Avengers that are coming to rescue your republic from rationality, I think they're rescuing it from. Something like that anyway. But anyway, if this is their A squad, I think America's going to be just fine.
All right. I guess we'll wrap up the headlines there. I'll go grab the magic snappy gauntlet thing. Marsh, Eli, thanks as always.
Exclamation.
And when we come back, Marsh is going to carry out another Woo d'etat. As many of you already know, Michael Marshall is a beautiful and talented polymath who wears many hats in his work with us here at Puzzle in a Thunderstorm. And one of my favorite of his hats is that of professional idiot wrangler. And he'll be regaling us with a tale of his latest wrangling in a segment we call
Who's Woo?
How come you never introduced me with flowery compliments? Also, I'm Eli Bosnick. There was music.
So Marsh, who's Woo are we going to be talking about today?
So sometimes proponents of Woo can be dangerous. And I've certainly covered a load of those here in our Who's Woo Hall of Fame. And other Woo peddlers can be deceptive and manipulative. And we've definitely covered a load of those too. But sometimes you come across Woo pushers who seem quite sincere, despite the fact that what they're promoting is the most amazingly ridiculous stuff you've ever come across. And that is where I want to take you today, so I can introduce you to the pure, wild, baffling joy that is Tom Numbers.
Come on. Ooh, is he the mortal fated to explain to everyone that 0.999 repeating is equal to one? Because I want to argue with that
it
guy,
is.
Okay?
Nine ninths as a decimal doesn't lie, Eli. Do the maths.
No.
Also, by the way, Tommy Numbers, that's his name. That's the name of the bookie at the bar where I worked for a bunch of years. Really hoping it's the same guy. Is it the same guy?
Yeah. No.
Strap in. Let's find out.
All right.
So Thomas Sidney Bushnell was born in London in February 1975, and he attended the University of Roehampton, completing a BSc in psychology and counseling in 1998.
Okay, yeah, different guy. It's a different guy.
Different guy, is it? Yeah.
Maybe. Listen on.
So from there, he went on to set up as a life coach and motivational expert for professional sports teams.
Wait a minute.
Where he would use his, quote, unique set of psychological and motivational tools that help his clients reach supreme levels of confidence, unquote.
Huh.
His first YouTube channel features some videos of him deploying some of these unique tools. And those tools are getting people to jump up and down to the Rocky soundtrack and then getting them to break wooden boards with karate.
Okay, to be fair, those teenagers are my age, and I can confirm that getting those kids excited for the future was incredibly cruel.
Okay, right. Marsh gave us a link to a video of this, and I'm really not loving how much that video looks exactly like me teaching the art of sandbag in a high school gym at my past job. Like, exactly.
Two pans in the forest.
I would sing that. It went badly.
That's right.
So as Tommy explained in 2008, he didn't invent these motivational tools from whole cloth. He got them from the very best, by which I mean he learned them directly from motivational speaker and synonym for shady self-improvement courses, Tony Robbins.
Come on.
Ah, Tony Robbins, a man whose least preposterous claim was the ability to make you attracted to fat people. For our younger listeners, there was a movie called Shallow Hal, and it's really for the best that you not Google it.
And so while Tommy's board-breaking antics might not have built up the confidence in many of the people that he worked with, it certainly did Tom's confidence no harm at all. And he spent a lot of his time writing in sports magazines as a confidence expert and being interviewed by sports radio shows on how to boost confidence and networking among professional sports teams. He broke wood in the changing room of lower league football club Scunthorpe United. There's a video of that on his YouTube. He was apparently dubbed by the Sun newspaper as the wood chopping psychologist determined to save Leicester City's season.
Okay.
That same year, the club was relegated from the Premier League shortly afterwards, winning just one of their last 22 games.
All right. Maybe he was actually getting paid by Nottingham Forest, the rival team, and he was crushing it.
Elsewhere in his blog, he brought the gift of confidence to a group of Mormon teenagers at a summer camp in London. So it's high stakes stuff at this point.
And hey, coach, we really appreciate the montage from the recessive gene here at Scunthorpe United, but any chance we could try not having a team that doesn't have cunt right in the middle of it? I feel like that would do better for our confidence.
Fun fact about Scunthorpe United, for a long time, the BBC didn't get any messages from Scunthorpe fans whenever they'd have like phone-ins about football. And then they realized they were all going to the expletive filter because it had the word cunt in it. And they had to update the filter. Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Sorry, everyone. We've allowed the Scunthorpes in now.
You'd think the British filter would let that one through. It's like super less offensive.
Yeah, it's right? Less of a thing. Yeah,
it's less offensive, but it's not like 3 p.m. on the BBC offensive. Less offensive. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Got Jeremy Clarkson on there. I disagree.
But, you know, things were going great for Tommy at this point. He was rubbing shoulders with the likes of Steven Gerrard and the former England manager Terry Venables. He was receiving rave reviews from the British jiu-jitsu fighters and Mormon school kids that he was working with in 2012. It was all going swimmingly. But Tom's story doesn't end with pretending that snapping thin bits of plywood will make you a mentality monster. Because if it did end there, he'd hardly be worth a mention in this particular segment.
Exactly. Inspiring children in spite of your own pathetic career is actually laudable, in case any of my students are listening.
Also, by the way, even if the plywood is pretty thin, you need official yellow belt skills to break that, Marsh.
Exactly.
So.
Not anyone can.
Take it serious. Karate.
So I'm going to take you forward a few years to the moment that I first encountered Thomas Sidney Bushnell in June 2021, deep into a pandemic world of lockdowns and Zoom calls, on the occasion of Donald Trump's 75th birthday, which Tom was celebrating by recording a special birthday greeting for his favorite American president.
Well, wasn't president at that point.
He wasn't president at this point, no. But depends who you ask. If you ask Tommy Bushnell here, he still was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still is.
So in the video, he talks about how he's wearing a suit and tie because Donald Trump has told him to.
Huh.
And he's told him to via the coded messages that he's been receiving from Trump. By which he means the twos and twos that he's personally added together via Gematria in his new online alter ego as Tom Numbers.
It's four, yeah. By the way, I think, yeah. Right?
Sounds like he's going to be a real number wang. Four listeners in our audience got that. But you know what? I love those listeners, so it stays in.
Wait, Mitchell and Webb?
Mitchell and Webb.
Mitchell and Webb, yeah. So by this point, Tom was one of the UK's most popular QAnon YouTubers and was regularly sharing to an audience of more than 80,000 subscribers his beliefs about what's really going on in the world. Tom Numbers, in fact, claims to be the world's number one non-military expert in simple gematria. That's literally what his LinkedIn page said.
Huh. Okay. I love that he had to hedge on his own bio about his expertise in adding stuff and letters? Yeah. Like military adding people. They're a step ahead with their big technology, but he's pretty good. That's his bio.
So Tommy runs a channel called Psych Club on YouTube, where he analyzes current events, celebrities, politics, and spirituality using his method of decoding numbers. And he claims to have discovered the secrets of the universe and the divine plan by applying simple gematria to words and phrases, such as the phrase Donald Trump, which totals to 138 in gematria, or Barack Obama, which is 32 in gematria, or QAnon, which is 61, or The Great Awakening, which is 185.
Is the system how many IQ points you lose each time you hear the phrase? Because I think I've cracked it.
Well, Tommy's in the negatives, if that's how it works.
That's true.
Again, I think I've cracked it. Then, yeah.
So for listeners or even for co-hosts who might be unaware of gematria, it's a form of numerology based originally in Jewish mysticism, where each letter of the Hebrew alphabet has a corresponding numerical value. And by adding up the values of the letters within a word or a phrase, you can supposedly reveal deeper truths or connections between different ideas or concepts. And then simple gematria is that, but for people who don't want to bother learning Hebrew, but who can recount the alphabet reliably enough to remember that A is the first letter and equals one, and therefore B equals two and C equals three all the way through
stupid.
To Z.
Okay. Yeah. To be clear, I just want to point out, gematria isn't like inherent to Hebrew as a language, right? Hebrew is just an old enough language that people did bullshit numbers on it first.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So just to be clear, the secret meaning of the universe, it changes when you cross a national border that has a new language.
Yeah. Language barriers.
Or if you think in a different language, it changes.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, I assume so. So if we were going to, by way of illustration, if we were going to apply gematria to this show, we could say that the letters in Scathing Atheist add up to a score of 163, which is the same total as Jesus is coming. And what? Also believe in miracles. And also make America great again. And Jeffrey Epstein and prostitute.
Okay.
Like, none of that is particularly meaningful, obviously.
Or is it?
But also none of that is helped by the fact that all the online gematria calculators are exclusively used by crazy people. So the results that they're most likely to return are the phrases that other crazy people have used them to search for already.
Okay, that's amazing.
Yeah. And because gematria is popular with QAnon fans, the results are massively skewed towards Q significant phrases, which obviously only then makes the whole problem worse when the next conspiracy theorist comes along to use it and gets those phrases.
Wow.
So for interest, I also put Eli Bosnick into the calculator. That's got a score of 99, which is the same as bearable guy and swoosh.
Ooh.
And
huh.
Most high.
Yeah.
And genuinely snowman. Seriously, that okay. Part should have been yours, Eli. It was written in the stars.
I mean, that's all on track except for the bearable part, but I'm guessing that's probably a translation error for the un or something, right? I need my middle initial to get the un in there.
Also, by the way, Eli Bosnick is equal to be reasonable. Interesting.
Is that true?
Do the Senior Pets episode, you coward.
Have you made that up?
No, that one's a real one. I actually looked at one of these calculators.
Oh, I didn't get that. Yeah. Oh, wow.
He's also equal to space laser. Think about it. That's actually real.
Wow.
They're all 99. In simple gematria.
Yeah, in simple gematria. It's different if we do the other types of gematria. Yeah, because you've got options there. Meanwhile, Heath Enright, that's got a score of 146, which is the same as born in the USA and okay. Eerily quiet.
Huh?
What?
And The Economist and Lincoln-esque, which I think is a fancy way of saying tall. Basically, that's what they're trying to say there.
I've done a lot for that community.
And also, it's the same as O negative blood, which is like a 1 in 8 shot, but it'd be great if that's accurate.
It's A positive. So close, though.
Drink A positive blood right now and prove to me. Prove.
Though, of course, Heath Enright isn't your real name. If I put your real name in, the top results are Elon Musk, Lebensraum, and Adolf Hitler.
Okay.
Okay. Marsh, this is getting spooktacular. Does Tom do private readings by any chance?
Okay. Michael Marshall, I'm checking. It's equal to Hebrew gematria and Rothschilds, plural, and terrorism. So there you go.
Okay. So now we know gematria. Let's go back to that birthday message that Tommy Numbers sent to Donald Trump and my introduction to the world of Tom Numbers, because this birthday message is an absolute delight. It's a real delight.
Okay, podcast listener, Marsh included a link to this video in our notes for context, and he might as well have locked me in a subway car with four raccoons. It is nonsense.
It's pretty great. Tommy Numbers starts the video by being surprised he's on his own video. And it's like, oh, hello. And it's like the Chris Farley show the whole time talking to this guy.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Stupid.
Remember when you did a coup? That was awesome. Stupid.
So in the video, he runs through some simple gematria about Donald Trump. For example, he says the words simple and gematria both total to 74. And he says that's significant because Trump had been 74 for the whole of the previous year.
Come on.
So, you know, interesting. Also, he says 74 comes to point, which relates to Trump because Trump is the king of pointing because he points at stuff a lot. It's amazing.
Okay.
And then he says, if you add the 74 from simple to the 74 from gematria, you get 148, which equals Donald J. Trump. You see, it's all there if you know where to look for it.
Hey, guys, his job seems easier than ours. Can we switch? Can we?
So Tommy says all of this information came to him in a download. How to do gematria, it came to him in a download. A download, actually, I think, from the spirit of Princess Diana. And that's a whole other story. Huh. But download, he says, equals 88. And 88 also equals Trump and purple. It also 88 is purple, which is why he's wearing a purple tie and a purple pocket square in the video. It all makes sense.
He also says he's donning it. And he's like, Donald, donning. Nailed it.
He says here, pun not intended.
In exactly that tone of voice. Podcast listener, Heath's not doing a bit.
Almost an exact quote.
Huh?
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. I love him so much. It's amazing.
Have him at QED.
Oh, God, I wish. I wanted him on Be Reasonable so many times.
He can have my seat.
He also points out the word square. Of course, that comes to 81. And 81 is the same as tower, dollars, and Tiffany. Which is why he thinks
they have to add plurals to make it work.
Yeah, it does. But that's why he thinks Trump told him to wear the pocket square, because square equals tower and dollars and Tiffany. And if you add up purple square, because it's a purple pocket square, you get 169, which comes to Trump Tower, but it also comes to the Great Awakening, and it comes to Robert Zemeckis, the director of Back to the Future. We will come back to that.
We will.
Tommy also says he's wearing a tie because Trump is the...
Wait, and 13 squared is 169. It's a perfect square.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. That is Tommy, genuinely more impressive than anything Tommy Numbers has done.
Email that to him. Get on the contact page. Help Tommy out.
So he's got the pocket square. He's also wearing a tie because he says Trump is the king of ties, as well as the king of pointing. It's a dual crown, apparently. He's got like multiple.
You can't just say he's good at a thing over the word. You can't.
But tie comes to 34, which is the same as DJT, his initials. And if you add up pocket square and tie, because he's wearing both, you get 185, which is the same as Donald John Trump.
Okay, but you can't have the word and between pocket square and tie. You just have to have pocket square tie, right?
It's pocket square tie. Yeah. Okay. He's pointing at the things that he's wearing. Pocket square, point to the tie. Because he's pointing. He points. It's a thing he does.
So, yeah. Comma has no values?
No, it hasn't, no.
Okay, unless you spell out comma if it's helpful, which yeah, it does.
Yeah, exactly. So all of this explains why he thinks Trump told him how to dress for this birthday video.
Okay, how is Trump telling him anything? By having his name?
Yeah. I guess, well, you're supposed to change your name if the letters add up to any phrases that you disagree with that you don't want to send as a secret message, and Trump never did that, so message.
Also, he says, the 74 that we mentioned before, that's gematria, 74 is also the same as DeLorean. And the 148, that was Donald J. Trump, that's the same as Emmett Brown. And it's the same as scriptures.
Wait, you were serious about the Back to the Future thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I thought that was just you putting in a thing like, yeah, and also Robert Zemeckis, director.
No. It's significant because he thinks that
he's going to connect it.
Donald J. Trump is therefore a time traveler as prophesied in the film Back to the Future.
Amazing.
Okay, but the Biff character is literally based on Donald Trump in Back to the Future 2. Now you're just insulting your prophetic source material, man.
Okay, so just to be clear, Donald Trump can time travel, and he still lost that election and got convicted of 34 felonies. Fantastic.
Well, he's not good at it. He can. Yeah, he did.
If anyone could pull that off with a time machine, it's Donald Trump, I suppose. Yeah.
And he went for 34 felonies because 34 comes to DJT, which is the same as time. Oh. We've already covered
what?
Sorry, withdrawn, Marsh. It all does connect. It does connect.
If you think that thing about Back to Future is a little bit of a reach, you should have been with me when I watched Tom Numbers in person live at a QAnon event in Birmingham in 2022, where I would say, I kid you not, but by this point, I think you'll just believe me, Tom spent the entirety of his 20-minute talk explaining how a 3-minute clip from Back to the Future proved beyond all doubt that Elon Musk is a white hat hacker working with Donald Trump to defeat the deep state by buying Twitter, and that all of this was planned out in advance in 1985.
Okay, here's a question. Do you think he's focusing on Back to the Future because, like, there's a mental illness thing that has a fixation there? Or does he just like that movie and want to watch it more? Because if I had Tommy's job, I would do it with the rundown. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I'd be like, do you want me to answer that question on this comedy podcast?
I don't think I do. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. The rundown equals 142. Which is also George Orwell, exactly, 140. And Orwell has a time machine.
This is all coming
in our podcastiverse. Mm-hmm. So, flying tackle of Tommy Numbers.
So, you see, in Back to the Future, in the scene where Marty needs to get struck by lightning in the car to return to the 80s, Doc Brown chalks out the place that he needs to start driving from in order to hit exactly the right speed at the right time. He chalks that on the ground. And the speed that Marty's aiming for is 88 miles per hour.
Oh, shit.
And 88, which is download, which is Trump.
In purple.
And also, miles per hour, which is 125, is the same as time travel.
What?
By the way, 88 is also HH for fucking Heil Hitler. So
Yeah, it is unfortunate that Tommy Numbers always wears his 88 miles per hour t-shirt at every single event, because a lot of the events he goes to do cross over with people who would see the 88 in that other meeting.
I'm sure they do.
So he's a con man who's doing that on purpose, but in my head, I really wish he wasn't, who was just like, I'm just trying to report my favorite movie, man.
Why do people keep waving at me at a weird angle, but they don't really wave? They just put their arm up. I don't get it.
Yeah, honestly, I could go either way on this. I could genuinely go either way. Yeah. Because, I mean, like I say, I watched him spend 20 minutes talking about a 3-minute clip of Back to the Future. And in it, he points out that in that scene, there's a poster in the background which has a sign with the words Bluebird Motel. And he says to the audience, which social media company has a Bluebird or did at the time?
Twitter.
So obviously the Bluebird Motel is a reference to Twitter. And he says, and buying Twitter, to buy that, it's pretty expensive. You're going to need a lot of money in the bank. But Bluebird Motel equals 138, which equals Elon Musk Bank.
Okay, that's the laziest one.
it so is. It absolutely is. And it also equals I am Twitter, which also equals
what?
Donald Trump. So therefore, Elon Musk is buying Twitter as part of his work with Donald Trump.
Okay, but the connecting factor between these things keeps turning out to be, and that is also numbers.
Yes.
And if the number's off that you're trying to get, you can just add one with A at the beginning, like, or, you know, you could add 23 with I am, like I am Twitter, or add 33 with the at the beginning, or turn the number into a word and then find the number of the word number and then now answer crawling everywhere, but you're getting whatever you want.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a reason why he keeps finding Trump or Donald Trump or Donald J. Trump or Donald John Trump, because it just widens his scope for hitting a connection. Yeah. It's amazing.
There must be a really good one that he's so mad he can't do Donald's J. Trump about, right? He must have it in a notebook just all the time.
A Donald Trump. You can't go A Donald Trump. It is obviously only one. You can't do it. Yeah. He does often President Donald Trump as well. But I mean, yeah, to be honest, I'll be perfectly honest. I fucking love this talk. I've listened to it back. I've got a recording of it that I've listened to in order for writing this. I would sit through hours of this rather than sit through yet another white supremacist explaining why Jews are ruining Western civilization. I genuinely would. Like, at one point in this talk, Tommy Numbers pointed to the part in the scene where Marty McFly headbutts his steering wheel and then pointed out that headbutt plus steering wheel equals 231 equals the calm before the storm. So that steering wheel headbutt was a coded message to tell QAnon supporters that the storm was coming in 40 years' time.
Yeah, what? In the sequel to Back to the Future. Yeah, so these waves are feeling pretty mysterious. Can I say that, Marsh? Yeah. It's feeling pretty mysterious.
Okay, can we start sending vague number messages to Tommy Numbers, just like putting them up near his apartment? I feel like we can get him to do anything we want eventually.
For sure.
100%. You can absolutely code this guy. 100%.
To Rob Schneider.
Turns out to spell random number generators.
And best of all, because Tom still has, he's still got some of those like old connections that he used to have from his days as a motivational coach. And so he uses those connections to secure bizarre and unlikely interviews for his YouTube channel. Like, as far as I can tell, I think he was responsible for dragging the former footballer Matt Letizia into a world of woo and conspiracy theory. I think he was already on the way there, but Tommy Numbers has interviewed him a couple of times and is definitely dragging him in that direction. And in a move so surreal and so amazing, you could not possibly have written it. At one point, he interviewed the legendary actor Michael Gambon before his death. It's amazing.
Okay, listeners, to say that Michael Gambon is trapped in this conversation is an understatement.
It's rough. He's trapped for over an hour. And if you fast forward through the video, which of course I did, it looks like a time lapse of Michael Gambon pulling out his own hair. You could just see like tufts of it being pulled out sideways.
Oh, he's so clearly just baffled by this entire experience. It's one of the weirdest celebrity interviews you will ever watch. It's a stilted and awkward conversation where Tom clearly knows almost nothing about Gambon. I think the only film he's seen of Gambon's that he references is Layer Cake, and he's a very minor role in that film for a very experienced actor who's done a lot of good stuff. But every now and then, Gambon says just an innocuous phrase while he's speaking. Like he mentions in the 60s how he had a casting director, and Tom flashes on screen text pointing out that casting director equals 165, which equals remote viewing, which equals resurrection, which equals Christ bloodline. And I'm unclear if Tommy Numbers is trying to suggest that Michael Gambon's 1960s casting director is the resurrection of Christ. It's not clear if what he means there. Nor is it clear that when Gambon says Laurence Olivier and he flashes that up on screen and then it comes to 169, it's not clear whether he thinks that's got anything to do with the other 169s he mentions on screen, which are Tiffany Trump or The Great Awakening.
Honestly, after Olivier's Hamlet, Tiffany Trump would be his second weirdest performance. So, you know.
By the way, 169 is also digital currency and laptop from hell and... Vladimir Putin with a W.
Vladimir, you say? Vladimir.
So close. you could have gone for A. Vladimir.
A Vladimir. Exactly. Thank you.
I hate to see it.
So the highlight for me, the highlight of the interview comes 12 minutes into it because Tom asks a pretty weird question. He says, like, is it deliberate that over the years, your voice, he says to Gambon, that your voice has become, quote, almost more of a vintage? Which is a really weird question to ask. And Gambon seems a little confused by it. But while he's asking that question, Tommy Numbers flashes on screen the words vintage voice, which equals 132, which equals Princess Diana and JFK Jr. is alive and no coincidences. So I guess he's suggesting that Michael Gambon has been deliberately making his voice more vintage over the last 50 years in order to subtly send the message that John F. Kennedy Jr. isn't dead.
Which is true.
Right. And in Tom's world, is that on purpose?
Has to
be. Like, did his Illuminati handler call him in to let him know that we're going to need to vintage up your voice a little bit? It's
Yeah, that's confusing. But the Princess Di conspiracy is now fully proven. That's just Occam's razor right there. Which, by the way, also equals 132, Occam's razor, if you spell it that way.
That all makes sense. Honestly, I love this stuff so much. And obviously, it's not the worst stuff in the world. But like this segment is called Who's Woo. It's not called Who's Evil or Who's Dangerous or Who is Destroying Civil Society. It's called Who's Woo. And whichever way you look at it, Tommy Numbers is definitely woo. From his start as a Tony Robbins-esque motivational seminar host, through to his role as one of the most popular and influential QAnon figures in the UK. I think he's relatively harmless. I think he's utterly sincere about this. And I think it's a little bit of a joy to introduce into anyone's life. So I am very much more than happy to reserve a little corner of Who's Woo for Tommy Numbers. So he's got his own little corner of Who's Woo. Who's Woo, which equals 118, by the way, which equals The Matrix, The Storm, Ivermectin,
come on,
Great Reset, Delusions, and We Have It All. And what could be a better summary of Who's Woo than that?
All right, it's all starting to make sense, Marsh. Numbers are... End of thought. Numbers are. Looking forward to the next installment of...
118.
And that's all the blasphemy we've got for you tonight. But we'll be back in 10,022 minutes with more. Can't wait that long. Be on the lookout for a brand new episode of our sister show, The Skeptocrat, debuting at 7 a.m. Eastern on Monday. An even newer episode of our sister show's hot friend, God Awful Movies, debuting at 7 a.m. Eastern on Tuesday. And an even newer episode of our half-sister show, Citation Needed, debuting at noon Eastern on Wednesday. Big thanks to Marsh, big thanks to Eli, and of course a big thanks to all the Patreon donors, new and old. The new ones will be complimented constantly next time around. And if you're feeling financially benevolent like those fine people, you can make a per-episode donation at patreon.com/scathingatheist, and that'll get you early access to an ad-free version of every episode. You can also make a one-time donation by clicking on the donate button on the right side of the homepage at scathingatheist.com. And if you don't have the money for giving away money, we get it. You can also help a ton by leaving us a 5-star review, telling a friend about the show, and following us on social media. And speaking of social media, Tim Robertson handles that for us. And our audio engineer is Morgan Clark, who also wrote all the music used in this episode, which was used with permission. If you have questions, comments, or death threats, you'll find all the contact info on the contact page at scathingatheist.com. This is how you get a Thomas Midgley.
The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and a Thunderstorm, LLC, copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.